it's one of, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful stories or parables that Jesus told. And it's beautiful because it's timeless. It depicts human life in many splendid aspects. And it's a story of mankind then and now. And I'm sure like you, you've heard many sermons about the prodigal son. But this morning, though, like I said, being Father's Day, I'd like to talk about the father of the prodigal son. So in Luke chapter 15, verse 12, it says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." So we are told, of course, here that the father divided his livelihood among his sons. And verse 31 tells us that everything the father had belonged to his sons. So there's no denying that the father here was very, very generous. And generosity is a trait, unfortunately, that many do not possess. But now, if God is represented here by this father, then that means that God is a generous father. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God is one who gave us life. The Lord formed man by the dust of the ground, and in his nostrils breathed in the breath of life, and man became living. So that's the very first generous thing that God done for us. He created us. Now in John 3:16, we all know, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that any who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's the second generous thing he done for us. And James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Also in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, John tells us that if we are faithful, God promises us eternal life in heaven. So as we see from these examples, our Heavenly Father is very generous to us. Now also in Luke chapter 15, verse 12, what we just read, we know that the Father treated his sons kindly. Because the son who left home, according to Scripture, did not make any accusations about his father, was not mad at his father. I mean, in fact, he called him his father. And the reason why I say that, because unfortunately, there are some fathers today that their children don't call him father because of the way they act or things they've done in their life. So one could assume that the boy calling his dad father, that his father was kind to him. Now our heavenly Father is kind. Because in Jonah, if you'd like to follow along, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 here, when Jonah prayed to God, if I can get over to it here, Jonah prayed to God and mentioned his kindness. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. "So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" Now also, in Psalms chapter 36, verse 7, we are told about God's loving kindness again. In verse 7, "How precious is your righteousness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." So our God is kind to us. Now, going back to Luke chapter 15, I like to read verses 17 through 19. But when he came to himself, that is the son, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and he will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Well, we see here that the son hit rock bottom. And sometimes that's what it takes for us to hit rock bottom sometimes, to appreciate all the blessings that God gives us and to appreciate everything that we have and not take for granted things that we have. And the son even was going to go back and be a servant. But we know that the father was kind and generous and good to him and didn't allow that. Now, our heavenly Father is good, because back in Psalms again, chapter 33, verse number 5, it says, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And we know that because we can see the goodness each and every day that he allows us to be alive. Now, also in Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. So if we trust in him, we are blessed. We need to trust in him. Now in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the Spirit through Paul mentions the goodness of God also. So again, our Heavenly Father is good to us. Now, the father also recognized the free moral agency of his son. We know that the father couldn't make the boy stay, couldn't make him go, and he couldn't make the boy come back to him, couldn't make the boy obey God. But it was his will, the son, that made him leave home, and it was his will that brought him back. But our Father in heaven knows that we are free moral agents. He gave us the ability to make decisions on our own. He wants us to worship him freely and lovingly. Because in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15, Joshua 24, verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose, key word, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will choose the Lord, says Joshua. Now in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we know that when we make a choice, there's two paths that we're going to go down. One, it's going to be the straight and narrow, and not many who goes that way. The second one, option there, is going to be the broad road, and many who will go down that road. In Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28, Matthew tells us through the Spirit, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So our Heavenly Father lets us choose our paths, if we want to serve him or not serve him. Now, back to Luke again, in chapter 15 there, in verse 20, it says, and he arose, that is the son, and come to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So we see here the father was looking for the son. He just didn't let him go and say, well, okay. His father saw him from a great distance. Far off he saw him coming. So he was looking. And one would think that the father probably went to bed praying for his son that he would return. And every day he got up, he would look for his son. And God is always looking for us. God is always looking for the center of the world. God is always looking for ones who may have gone astray back into the world to come and repent. God is always there and always will be. Because see, our God waits for His wayward children, like I said, to come back to Him. Because in 2 Peter 3:9, Peter talks about the long-suffering of God. And in Matthew 23:37, Jesus spoke of His desire for the Jews to come to Him. We see that. Now the father had compassion for his son. In Luke 15:20, it says, His father saw him and had compassion and ran to him and fell and kissed him on his neck. Well, likewise, our God has compassion. Our Father has compassion. Because in 1 Peter 5:7, the Spirit through Peter points out that Jesus cares about us. And so, and we know that God has compassion for us because He sent His Son. And also the father of the prodigal son had a heart of forgiveness. In Luke 15:21 through 24, I'd like to read, it says, And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight am I no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. Then jumping down to verse 32, It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. So the father was ready at a moment's notice to forgive his son. Now, we know that the son expected a whole lot different. He'd come back saying, I want to be a servant, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. But that wasn't the response that he got. Because now God restores you and me to full sonship when we as His people return by repenting and confessing our sins and praying for forgiveness. Because in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know that sin separates us from God, because sin is a transgression of God's law. You are born into this world clean, but when you reach the age of accountability, knowing right from wrong, then that's when you become accountable for your actions. And we know that we all sin, because Romans 3:23 tells us, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But, I mean, God is willing to forgive us of our sins and remember them no more. All we have to do is obey His commandments. Now, one of the commandments we have to meet, one of God's requirements we have to meet, is to take care of the sin in our life. And that is by being baptized. In Acts 2:38, it says, Repent and be baptized, all of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when you are baptized for your remission of your sins, God remembers them no more. You have a clean slate, as I like to say. And even if we're already a Christian and we have gone back in the world, done things, said things that's contrary to God's will, we still have hope for forgiveness. All we have to do is repent and change. Because true repentance for something means you're sorry for it, but you change it and you try not to do it again. And when that happens, there's going to be joy in heaven. Just like there was joy when the prodigal son returned. So again, let's remember all these blessings that the Father's given us. His kindness, His generosity, His lovingness, kindness. And if you're here this morning and you're Christian or not a Christian, God is waiting and watching for you, wanting you to change your life. Because, like I said, there will be joy in heaven when one person repents. So if there's anyone here that needs any assistance, I'd ask that you would come forward as we stand.